So we've done a signals, body language. Now we're going to spend a bit of time in scripts and sounds. So the script scripts is persuasive scripts, words we use that give us a better chance of people doing what we want them to do in a useful, helpful way. And I think often many of us have certain phrases, default phrases we use in certain situations, whether you know it or not, whether you call them scripts or not. I think it's fairly common to have scripts. And here's a bit of a checklist, I guess, to think, okay, particularly in a difficult situation, keeping the words to a minimum, but actually giving them the best chance of persuading this person to do what I want them to do. Pithy, keep it short. All right, what's the minimum amount of words I can use to get my message across? That's your challenge. It's the minimum amount of words I can use to get my message across. Positive, tell them what we want, not what we don't want. Because the risk is they've kicked us before. Don't you kick me. Well, that's right. We're inadvertently giving them a clue of what not to do. And, you know, whatever you do, don't think of a pink elephant. You can't not think of it. So feet on the ground or whatever else it is. Yeah, tell them what you want them to do, sitting down. And then presuppose they're going to do it. Yeah. Thanks for sitting down. Does that guarantee success? Absolutely not, but more likely to. Rather than, can you sit down, please? Because that invites a no. I don't want to. Or, thanks for picking up that letter and putting it in the bin. And move away as though they're going to do it. Whatever it is. Right? Not guarantee, but gives an increased chance of success. I used a persuasive script. I'm sure I didn't need to, but in the circles of danger activity. Hands down, thanks. Yeah, so that's an example. So it's good to think about, okay, particularly when people are elevated, what's the minimum amount of words I can use? Am I saying what I want them to do? And am I pushing? Yeah, thanks. You know, thank them for doing the right thing. They may or may not. Is there more support you need, or is there anything else I need to help you with? But presuppose they're going to do it, the human brain is more likely to do it, that's all, in those particular moments. One thing, just because it came up in a recent training, certainly in schools, and it's not just in schools, you might use phrases like kind hands. You've got to be clear they understand what kind hands mean. We know what they mean, but they might not understand what that means. So what are they doing with their hands, for example, if we're saying kind hands? We need to teach this when they're not in crisis. That's not when they're going to pick it up. And this is in the workbook, it's in the resource book, and it's in... and in the trainer manual, but the halfway, where is it? Down page 5 of the thin workbook, oh, that's the way I'm quickly know where it is. We talk about scripts. Alright, and this is an example of a help script. It's a team teach, it's not perfect, it's not the only one, but there's something about the structure of this that I'll come back to when people are back refreshing, actually, that we've recently found out. It can be really helpful, but start with the name. The most important word in any of our vocabulary is our own name. All right, and there's no point saying anything else unless we think they're listening to us. Doesn't mean they have to be looking at us, remember? But do I think they're hearing the words I'm using? Then we acknowledge, I can see something's wrong, I can see something's happened, I can see something's not quite right. We try not to say, I can see you're upset, or I can see you're angry. I'm not angry, you know. Whether they verbalise it or not, they might think, oh, I'm not angry. What are you to tell me I'm angry? Again, you're not going to say talk to me if they're pre-verbal, if they haven't got language. Right, stating the blind and obvious, but if they haven't got words, or words isn't a good option, then we're not going to say, I'm here to help, how can I help, maybe? I want to help, I'm here to help. Let's go and, this is about calming them down to distract them to doing something positive, as opposed to what they may be currently doing. Yeah, I can guarantee they won't calm down as quickly as that, probably, but you can see it sets. It's not just the words, is it? The standing still, how it's delivered. But it's having a plan of what to say. Some people can think of the right things to say, but most of us can't. And again, some settings have had individual scripts around individual people they're supporting of, so it's really consistent language being used. And again, it's about adding to the toolbox of approaches, as opposed to it's going to work in all situations. And that's where it might need to be adjusted. As I say, that's an example. It's good to think about, okay, what do we need to say? What am I going to say if this person I'm supporting is starting to escalate in their behaviour? The other one we talk about here is a help protocol. So it's on page 6 of the thin workbook. And this is, how do we offer help? How do we receive help? When sometimes we might be part of the problem. Either because they've pressed our buttons, they've annoyed us, frustrated us, or they're just the kids decided we're part of the problem. And actually, until we switch all the participants, decided we're part of the problem. Until, and I understand, when you're in soul working, it's a lot trickier to do all of that. And it's good to think through, how do we do, what's the modifications, or what can we do around help protocols, and what do we say to people in this situation when we are soul workers? Good to think through as part of that. So we say team teach, the protocol is you can't refuse help. So if someone offers you help, you can't say no. So why might we say that? Why might we suggest that's important? What's the risks of saying no? Two possible risks. One is, if I keep saying no, people stop offering help. And actually might desperately need it. And everyone's going, what's the point? And it says yes to that. The other one is, sometimes I might be. It might have annoyed me, frustrated me. So actually, unfortunately, this is getting worse, or this is continuing because I'm cranky at them now. Yeah, and this isn't the time to resolve what they've done. That needs to be when people are calmer. People try and do it now. So this is our version of a help protocol. So in team teach, we say, if someone says, Nick, I'm here to help, I say, rather than saying no, yeah, you can help by coming back in 5 minutes, checking on us. Yes, you can help by getting a drink away. Yes, you can help by checking on the rest of the class, or the other participants, whatever it might be. Yeah, so I still have control over what happens, but I'm not saying no. Yeah. Now, it might be a colleague comes along and thinks, I'm not sure Nick's the best person to be de-escalating this situation. Either because Nick's got cranky at the person now, or the kid's got cranky that it's Nick. Yeah, and he's not quite recognised. It could be, yeah, can you help by working with Johnny? I'm going to go and do X. We can exit ourselves, the first scenario. This one is, so our code words are more help. So if someone says, Nick, more help is available, I have to say, what do you suggest? How about if I work with Johnny, I'll catch up with you later. We'll have a chat, little as possible. Yeah? So this is, how do we intervene when things are going a bit astray without, because the risk is we don't. And then because we're worried about undermining the colleague, or, you know, how that might play out, or upsetting them and all those other bits. So this is, how do we offer help? And the risk is we don't, and we end up with a crisis, a critical incident. Because we didn't know how to, and this could be your principal, or it could be someone senior. It's not hierarchical, it's done well. Anyone can do this. And yet, sometimes that more help will be inappropriate. It won't be the right thing to do. But at least people are trying to do the right thing. Yep, so the first bit is just, I'm here to help. Yep, can you help by? You work with Johnny, I'm going to go and check on the rest of. Yeah, because sometimes we know, if I exit, this will calm down. You know, and they might be calling me all the names, or they might be doing lots of inappropriate things, but we're not going to solve it now. That needs to be done later. Yeah, the risk is we try and use this as a learning moment when people are escalated, and they're not going to learn things at that precise moment. Or it is, if I observe a colleague and things are starting to go a bit astray, how do I offer help? When there's good relationships, we find a way to make this work, don't we? But there's not always good relationships across all staff, or there's highly unlikely to be in my experience, because we're different, we're human beings. Some people we get on well with, some people we get on okay with, some people we struggle with. And that can be the same with the people we're supporting. You know, I didn't like every kid I worked with. I didn't like every member of staff. Hopefully they didn't know that. Because that's the bit. It's how do we act professionally, isn't it, in these situations? And they wouldn't have all liked me. You know, that's the reality of humans as part of it. So, conversations to your table, whether you do it as twos or fours in that way. Thoughts about reflections around the help script and the help protocol in relation to your environment. So that's why I suggest you do it in pairs, but you can do it broader. Thoughts, reflections on both of those elements.